So my disclosures first. I have no relationships to disclose. And I wanted to briefly start with how the project that I'm going to present today started. It came out of UCSF's Clinical and Translational Sciences Institute. They have a project through their community engagement branch, which is called the San Francisco Health Improvement Partnerships. And the idea of this was to take evidence-based research that's come out of UCSF and actually partner with communities in San Francisco to actually improve the health of the people that live here. One of those projects is based on improving physical activity and nutrition, and we partnered with the Kaiser Healthy Eating Active Living Zone and the Bayview neighborhood in San Francisco to improve physical activity and nutrition there. And part of that partnership meant that the community project that came out of this neighborhood needed to include some evaluations, and it was identified that people needed some technical assistance in developing those evaluations. So that's where I, the graduate student, came in. Some background. I'm using a case study of this particular neighborhood, the Bayview neighborhood, and a particular health problem of health issue, physical activity and nutrition, to explore the larger methodological issues of availability and suitability of publicly available data sets to design and evaluate neighborhood-focused interventions. So we know that public health challenges tend to be in clusters, often by neighborhoods, such that particular communities suffer health problems at disproportionate rates to their neighbors. And these hotspots often have multiple factors at play. Economic issues, racial segregation, and racism, reduced access to health services, safety, access to grocery stores, and a bunch of other things can be tied to your location. These local hotspots of poor health outcomes present a challenge for community-based research and also for developing evidence-based interventions for specific communities. Most public health data is available as larger national or regional data, which is characterized by race or income but not by place. And this is challenging because locally focused interventions, such as those that use CBPR, take place in and with communities, and they involve communities in data identification and selection. The community projects that we're working with needed corresponding data sources that measure health and its related constructs in the specific geographic area where they are. And they needed this at smaller than the county level. Just so you know, San Francisco is a single county, so all the data that relates to San Francisco sort of summarizes everything that's here. And a lot of times these sort of small hotspots or pockets of poor health get lost in the average. Although in this particular case, the neighborhood we're focusing on is loosely bounded by a zip code, so that is one identifying local characteristic that we can use when we look through data. So the objective of my project was, as part of a community-university partnership using community-based participatory research, to design physical activity and nutrition interventions to decrease obesity in a specific neighborhood in San Francisco. We sought to determine the utility and publicly available data sets to evaluate interventions targeting a specific neighborhood. And more specifically, we were trying to ask, can existing publicly available databases be used for local intervention evaluation? Existing publicly available databases are optimal for CBPR because the data is readily available, it's already being collected by other people, and it provides comparison groups for your target community. This also allows for uses less resources, both economic and knowledge or skill resources. And the other question we wanted to look at is what happens if you broaden that search to include community data resources besides those that are just largely available? And then the neighborhood that we're specifically looking at is the Bayview neighborhood, and it was chosen because it has a large concentration of African Americans who have a disproportionate obesity and cardiovascular disease based in San Francisco. So this is a map of San Francisco. And the colors show the concentration of African Americans in San Francisco. So you can see there's a large there's some segregation, and there's a large concentration over in that lower right corner, and that's the Bayview neighborhood that this project is taking place. And when you have racial segregation, you conflate race and place. So that's something that we're looking at as well. So the overall process of the project has sort of three phases. The first two are the ones that I'm reporting on today. The first, I used internet search engines, academic literature, and consultation with the UCSF Clinical and Translational Science Institute to identify widely available data sources. And then the second phase, I did phone, email, and in-person meeting and discussions with local resources, such as Department of Public Health, local community-based organizations like the Southeast Food Access Group, and UCSF researchers that do that have partnerships with local groups like the school district. And then the third phase is to design evaluation using these data sources, which is still in progress. So I included any data set which included the zip code region of the neighborhood of interest, anything that measured proximal or distal variables related to obesity, and all relevant variables were cataloged. I created a data taxonomy, which is sort of a large Excel database of databases. And these are the results. So the results of the first phase, which was the large data sets that were widely available, identified 31 databases, and those included things like NHANES, the Youth Risk Factor Behavior Surveillance System, California Health Interview Survey, and California School Data. And of those, about 35% had enough granularity to examine neighborhood, zip code, or school-specific levels of the data pertaining to the neighborhood of interest. 23% had data available at county or school district level, and the rest were yet you could only get data broken down to the state or a larger unit. And I think it's important to note that only three databases had local-level data available for location-specific variables. So these are variables that are actually tied to place, like food access or safety. Then for the phase two, which is when I was discussing things with local organizations, I identified 16 additional data sources, and those included things like CBPR focus groups and surveys in the neighborhood of interest, occasional needs assessments or reports by these CBOs, UCSF community studies, and Department of Public Health accreditation reports. This data had some common variables like body mass index and physical fitness, but more often it had specific data, such as nutrition preferences of a specific subpopulation. And this data from the second source included all of it was available at the school, zip code, or neighborhood level. It was sometimes just the neighborhood of interest, so it did not have any comparison data. It often included cross-sectional data, and they were not ongoing studies of data collection, although some of them were. And this data was more difficult to access in the sense that you would need to ask permission or negotiate a partnership to get access to the raw data, but aggregate summaries were easier to get access to. And so, in conclusion, the existing widely publicly available data sets have insufficient local detail for planning and evaluating locally focused interventions. They're good for identifying standard questions and for comparison groups, but to actually do an evaluation of a local intervention, it would be difficult. But by working with community and local organizations, more locally focused data are available. They may have more barriers to access and be harder to find, but they are geographically focused. So developing strategies to measure small pockets of poor oral health as well as evaluate local interventions is an important challenge in health disparities and intervention research. The large surveillance data sets that are existing are a missed opportunity to assess the impact of place on health, and local approaches are also needed to sort of fill that gap. So I think using both approaches together is the best way to go. And I just want to acknowledge our funding through the CTSI, my mentor, Margaret Hanley, and all of my co-authors who really helped me use sort of the snowballing technique and find everybody to talk to get information about the local data sources, and all of our community partners. That is all.